one of those phrases that resonates through the 20th and into the 21st century is "She Who Must Be Obeyed." Well, it comes from H. Rider Haggard's novel, She, of 1885, the third of his 40 books, the best known of which probably was King Solomon's Mines. Tonight, we're looking for a mountain with the head shaped like an Ethiopian. We want to know, what did Callicrates and his wife find there more than 2,000 years ago? An answer perhaps to be found in She. From Escape, July 11th, 1948.
Fed up with the everyday grind, tired out from the summer heat, want to get away from it all.
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are deep in a fabulous mountain cavern, surrounded by a horde of menacing natives from a lost civilization, held at the mercy of the most beautiful woman in the world, the terrible queen called She.
Tonight, we escape to uncharted Africa and to an incredible adventure, as H. Rider Haggard described it in his fantastic story, She.
In those days, I was a professor of archaeology at Oxford. And though this may account for my being able to understand some of those strange events which occurred later, it was in no respect the reason for my becoming involved in them. No, the real reason was unbelievably simple. I walked through the caves of the dead in the terrible and ancient city of Kor, crossed the awful abyss and looked upon the flame of life, only because I was one of the ugliest men in England. Because of my appearance, I had made few acquaintances and only two close friends. Roger Vincey first, and following his death, his son, Leo, whom he left behind. And it was that friendship which brought Leo Vincey to my chambers off the quadrangle, late in the evening of the day he became 25 years old.
Today was the first I knew of it, Holly, when the attorneys called me in.
Yes.
They said Father instructed them the week before he died to give me the letter and this little bronze chest on my 25th birthday.
It's strange. I mean, the chest. Designs on the lid show Egyptian influence. It must be very old.
Well, according to Father's letter, it contains something over 2,000 years old.
Really?
Must have considered it rather important. See, he's closed the cover with a lead seal.
Yes, so I see.
At any rate, Holly, the letter doesn't tell us much. Suppose we see what's inside.
All right. I have a geology hammer here somewhere, my boy. Oh, here we are. And a chisel. Now you hold it in place on the table here.
Uh-huh. Huh? Go ahead. Ah, there, it's pulling loose.
Yes. Ah, I did it.
Well, here goes. Oh, what the devil is that?
Why, it's a clay tile, an old Egyptian writing tablet. Yes, it's the kind used about the time of Nectanebes, around 340 B.C.
But the writing on it, it's not Egyptian. It's Greek.
Yes. And parts of it are broken away. Oh, it'll take some time to translate this, Leo.
Well, Father apparently did it, Holly, according to this paper. Listen, here's his translation.
Read it.
I, Amenartes, wife of Callicrates, say this to you, my son. Forced to escape the wrath of the great Nectanebes.
I thought so.
Your father and I fled southward across the waters and wandered for twice 12 moons upon the coast of Libya.
Well, that's the old name for Africa, you know.
That faces the rising sun. And there by the mouth of a river where stands facing the sea a great mountain carved like the head of an Ethiopian.
What is it?
Nothing, Holly. Huh? It goes on. Right. Following the river, we soon fell among... There's a row of asterisks
that
here.
That must be one of the places where the tile's broken. Go on, my boy.
To a hollow mountain where a great city once stood, and to the terrible caves of which no man had seen the end, and to She Who Must Be Obeyed.
She Who Must Be... What's wrong, Leo?
I don't know, Holly. There's something familiar about that name, but I've never heard it before. Strange.
Well, come on, get on with it.
She who must be obeyed, who did lead us by awesome ways to the place where the great pit is, whose voice is like thunder, and she did show to us the rolling pillar of life and did stand in the flames. And she spake unto my, and there's a large fragment missing here.
Oh, fragrancy.
There isn't very much more. Picks up, carried far away on the ships where I gave birth to thee, and came hither to Athens at last. So I say to thee, by these things which I have told, seek out this place, nor stay thy will until thou hast the secret of life for thyself. Sit then on the throne with the Pharaoh. And that's all, Holly. Now, what's it all about?
Leo, if your father knew, he kept it to himself. I don't know. It's all very strange.
Yes. Well, we'll know as soon as we reach the place.
I was hoping you'd say that. Now, if you decided not to, I think I should have had a try at finding it alone.
Oh, I can't do anything else, Holly. It's more than curiosity. It's almost a compulsion. There's such a familiar feeling about all this. Even that mountain, Holly, shaped like the head of an Ethiopian.
Yes, what about it?
Well, off and on, ever since I was a kid, I've dreamed about a mountain like that. But why, Holly? Why should I?
That was the beginning. And some 3 months later, we drifted down the east coast of Africa, south of Zanzibar, searching the miles of jungled shores for the mountain carved like a head. There were four of us in the tiny sailing dhow, Leo and I, of course, along with Abdullah, the Arab boatman we'd hired in Aden, and finally a solid North countryman named Job, my servant for many years. We'd caught no sight of our landmarkers yet, but a native had told us of seeing it once years before, somewhere to the south. So our hopes held high, and we were confident luck was with us. And so it was, until one evening, just at dark.
That's a pretty stiff wind, Holly.
Yes.
You think Abdullah knows what he's doing?
We're rather close inshore, all right, Leo. I doubt if there's any danger, unless a squall hits.
Hey, by gosh, we're strangers here in an heathen land and all. Anything could happen.
It could, Joe, but let's assume that it won't. Huh? How's the dory making out back there?
Oh, trailing along all right behind us. Be in a bad spot if we lost it. We have guns, food, equipment, and everything in it.
Yes, I know, Job. Leo, perhaps we shouldn't have packed the stuff that way, Leo. I should have kept it on board with
us. No, Holly. We want to be ready to shove off up the river as soon as we sight that head. It would be a tough job loading that boat at sea.
Well, we may not have had to, Leo. We've certainly found no reason to so far.
But we will. I've dreamed of it.
Huh? Hey, Master Holly, look!
It's the wind,
the wind's driving the water ahead of it. Abdullah! Lay onto that tiller and head her into it.
I'll give him a hand, Holly. Cut right. The sail loose.
Yeah, we've not a chance, sir.
Hold onto the mast, Joe.
We shall all
be down. Leo! Help! The great wave plunged over us, tore away the dory, swamped the dhow beneath our feet, and hurled us headlong into the foaming sea. Half smothered, fighting to stay afloat, borne shoreward by the driver of the tempest, we were tossed at last, one by one, up onto the rain-swept beach. The calm dawn found us huddled together on the sand at the fringe of a dark and forbidding jungle. At the south lay the mouth of a small river, and to the north, the beach ended at the slope of a rocky headland. Leo and Job went to look at the wrecked dory, lying at the water's edge 100 yards away, while I searched the shoreline for some sign of our boatman. I found none, and we never saw Abdullah again.
Oh, Holly. Find any trace of him, Holly?
No sign, Leo. Afraid he's gone for good.
Oh, it's too bad.
What shape's the dory in, Job?
Wrecked. Not a chance of fixing it. But the equipment seems to be all right, sir.
Oh, good. It's all there,
is it? Yes, most of it. The lashings held and the waterproof cases stood up very well. Only trouble is we're afoot.
Yes, we're going to have a lot of trouble following the coastline.
We won't follow any coastline, Holly.
What?
We're going up that river. Take a look at that headland there to the north. Yeah? It shows up better from the wreck, Holly, but with the sun coming up now, you can see it from here, too.
Why, gum, it's shaped like a human head.
That's it! That's the landmark!
Right, Holly. Then that's the river Kallikrates followed with his wife, the same one we're going to follow.
Oh, but Leo, with the boat gone, we shall have to break trail through that jungle and follow that riverbank.
Yes, we'd better get started.
Look, gentlemen, why can't we just stay here and try to signal some ship?
Oh, there's not much chance of it, Job. They stay pretty clear of this coast.
But anyway, this is what we've been looking for.
I don't really know what we are looking for, Leo. It's been more than 2,000 years since Callicrates went up that river. And things must have changed a great deal by now.
Holly, that carved head up there in the mountain. It looks exactly the way it always did when I dreamed about it.
It's incredible.
I've got a strange feeling that whatever Callicrates and his wife found back there in the jungle will still be waiting there today.
For 5 hot, steaming days, we pushed inland through the jungle, following the banks of the muddy river. Mile by mile, the creeping undergrowth became more dense. The river shallowed and became sluggish, and the swamplands began to stretch out from the low banks. Foul pools and stagnant lagoons full of soft black mud covered over with a green scum made every step a hazard. Crocodiles slid away at our approach, and bright-colored snakes glided out from underfoot. Mile after mile, we forced our way through those evil swamps, each mile more difficult. And finally came the morning of the 6th day.
Oh, I don't know, Holly. If it gets any worse, we'll never make it.
Excuse me butting in, gentlemen.
But yes, Joe.
I say we should turn back.
Oh, no, Joe. We've spent 5 days getting this far. It'd be a shame to waste it.
It's just the way I feel. We'll keep on as long as we can.
Oh, what, Leo?
Oh, I don't know. I stumbled over something in the mire. Here, take a look at it.
It's a rock. Look.
Yes. It's a square stone. It's been hand-cut. There's another. It's a section of an old wall of some sort.
Or of a dike. That's it, Holly. A long time ago, the river was held between stone dikes along here. Like a sort of canal.
It's possible. That might account for the swampland. The dikes gradually fell to pieces, and the river spread out through the jungle.
Of course. And, Holly, there could be only one reason for building them. So that boats or barges could come in from the ocean to some kind of a city.
A city, gentlemen. Yes. Why don't we turn back while we
can? It. City. It had to be a long time ago. Centuries ago,
Leo. It could still be there, Holly. This place has never been explored. Nobody would ever try to come through these swamps.
It may include us if we keep... Job, what's the matter with you?
He must be... Uh-oh.
Look.
Natives. Where the devil did they come from?
I don't know. Ooh, strange-looking brutes. Look at those clothes they're wearing.
Yes, I've never seen any quite like them. Except in...
Hey, Gop. Bakani Biko.
Do you recognize that dialect?
No, it's a little like Arabic. I might try that. Sabul al-Hayir. Kaifa?
Hey, Gop. Ni Bokan ni Vek.
I've never heard anything like it before.
They seem to want us to come along with them, Holly.
Yes.
You think we'd better chance it?
Well, they outnumber us 30-1, Leo.
Yes, and they're all carrying those stabbing knives. Well...
Baka Zedango!
Hang on to your guns. They don't seem to know what they're for. Let's go.
Our strange escort moved rapidly ahead, twisting and turning as they followed some well-remembered trail of their own. We rested during the night on a hummock of dry ground... and then struck out again at dawn. It was late afternoon when we left the swamp and climbed up a long slope to the foot of the rock-walled mountain. Reaching its base, we entered the mouth of a great cavern, and a short way inside, we led into a small side chamber, carved from the living rock and lighted by a reed wick floating in a jug of oil. And then the strange natives went away and left us, and we sat about on the floor, trying to plan some course of action.
Oh, dear. How long do you suppose we've been here, Holly?
Close to 2 hours, I'd say.
Yeah.
It must be dark outside by now.
Holly, do you have any idea what race they belong to? They're not like any other natives in this part of Africa.
Oh, I've seen people much like them in some of the villages in southern Egypt, Leo. But I don't know any more about it than that.
They wear those odd tunics, too. Cotton or linen, I suppose. Those bronze headbands. Must have been out of contact with the rest of the world for centuries, Holly.
Heathens, that's what they are, and up to no good so far as we're concerned. That's
what
I think.
You may be right, Joe, but I still want to find out about the other things Amenartes wrote on the tile. The city of Kor and the pillar of fire, and she who must be obeyed.
We found the caves, at least. Though I can't see anything so terrible about them.
Perhaps we haven't seen everything the cave...
Huh?
Oh. Oh.
Zeni Bahop.
Our little chum.
Zeni Bahop.
He seems to want us to follow him. Well, hang on to your guns.
Right, you are. Stick close together. Don't let them separate us. All right, Job? Come, let's go.
Our strange guide led us along the twisting, branching passageways, lighting our way with a flaming torch that threw weird shadows on the walls of solid rock. Now and then we passed side chambers lined with long rows of stone slabs. And then I saw that each slab held the sheeted figure of a human body. And I realized these caves were one vast crypt filled with the mummified bodies of some vanished race. Gradually, as we moved on, a most remarkable sound began to grow louder. Made up of the guttural voices of a crowd, the throbbing of drums, and the moan of some strange musical instrument. Suddenly, the narrow passage opened out into a great hollowed cavern where natives danced and postured in the eerie glare from 100 huge torches placed about the walls. I stared in amazement, for the torches were flaming mummies tied upright to the posts, and the guide had lighted our way through the passages with a human arm.
Nebok! Orgdain!
I think he means for us to walk toward that platform in the center.
Yes. There's a pit of coals burning in the top of it.
Nebok!
Yes, come on. Watch it, Holly. I don't like the looks of this.
All right, keep your gun handy, Leo. Stay right with us, Joe.
Yes, they look anything but friendly.
If anything starts, try to get on the platform. They've got no weapons except those stabbing knives, remember.
Here we are. Now what?
The Ban Nivet.
It's quite some fire they've got built up. Can't understand what they mean.
Joe! 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 Look out, Holly! They killed Joe!
The devil's back against the wall, Leo!
Watch it, here they come! All right, you!
Stabbed Joe without a chance there.
One on your left! Holly, let's try for the crate!
Hand those out!
What the deuce is this?
Old man in a long white robe.
Hold your gun ready, Leo. We'll see what happens.
Never, Andy! Angibo!
Well, but they're scared to death of him, whoever he is.
Wait, he's coming our way.
I presume you speak English, gentlemen?
Yes, but you do.
Occasionally, natives from the south have come through the swamps, and we have captured them. I have learned many of the languages of the outside world. I am Bilali.
Leo Vinci, and this is Mr. Holly.
I am most sorrowful for the death of your companion.
Oh, yes, poor Joe.
My children had no excuse. They know the law. From now on, you will be allowed to complete freedom. No white man is ever to be eaten.
Eaten?
That is what would have been done to you. But rest assured, her law is just, and their punishment will be swift.
Whose law?
That of she who must be obeyed.
Holly! This is it, Holly. We're still on the right trail.
She has demanded your presence. I have come to take you to the place where she is.
Tell me, Bilali, who or what is this she who must be obeyed? A goddess? A queen? A white woman?
I could not say, my son. I have never seen she. Come along.
Again through those tortuous passages, two of us now, with kindly old Bilali leading the way, until he left us alone at last in a large chamber hung with brilliant colored silks, fitted with soft divans and lighted by crystal lamps. We stood there several minutes, not speaking, wondering, when suddenly the curtains across the doorway parted and a most amazing figure stood before us. It was swathed in folds of filmy white draperies, with soft, gauzy veils covering even the face and hands.
I bid you welcome to the city of Kor, Kallikrates and friend of Kallikrates.
I'm not Kallikrates. I'm Leo Vinci, and this is my friend, Mr. Holly.
Leo Vinci. Vengeance. No matter, you will understand.
Are you?
I am she.
Well, you must forgive us if we find it difficult to understand this. What is all this, these caves, the natives? What is Kor?
Kor is a great city that rose up and then died many thousand years ago. These are the caves of Kor. The city itself stands farther on, in a huge crater at the heart of the mountain.
Are you a descendant of Kor?
I came from another place, far away, and Kor was dead long before I found it. The natives know me as a fearsome figure in white, and they obey me.
They have never seen you?
No, Holly. Not one of them has ever seen behind these veils.
It's amazing to think that Kallikrates must have been here in this same place over 2,000 years ago.
2,287 years ago. Kallikrates died in this very chamber.
You speak as though you saw it happen.
I did see it happen. I killed him.
But you couldn't. That was over 2,000 years ago.
Yes. And at that time, I had been here in Kor for more than 500 years.
Impossible.
How do you know? You haven't seen me.
But then you claim to be immortal.
Yes. As he could have been had he stepped with me into the flames of life. As you can be my Kallikrates, if you so choose.
I hope you'll forgive me, but I can't believe anything so fantastic.
Is it proof you need? Proof that I once did an evil act in anger and paid for it by waiting alone through all these centuries? Proof that my waiting is ended now? Then look upon it behind this curtain.
A mummy. A mummy like those out in the caves.
But look at the face.
Leo, It's you. That's you lying there.
That is the body of Kallikrates, whom I loved, and whom I killed in anger when he refused to leave her and stay with me to become immortal. His wife Amenartes fled across the mountains and later gave birth to his son, your ancestor.
Then, Leo, that clay tile has been handed down in your family for over 20 centuries.
I have paid for my sin, and I have waited, knowing that someday my Kallikrates would be born to me again, would come back to Kor and find me.
It was as though I had to. I dreamed of that carved mountain before I'd ever seen it. And your name, she who must be obeyed, it struck some chord in my memory the first time I heard it.
It is your heart that must be obeyed now, my beloved. The decision is yours whether to leave me once again now that you have found me, or to walk with me into the pillar of life, to love me and to become immortal.
Yes. I feel somehow that this is the ending of something I've been moving toward all my life.
Leo!
But it isn't possible. Immortality. Then how can you love someone you've never seen?
Then you shall see, my beloved. I've worn these veils for you, and for you I... Look.
Oh.
The soft veil slid off from her shoulders, and she stood revealed before us, the most beautiful woman the world has ever seen.
Will you leave me now, my Kallikrates, or come with me to the flame of life?
I'll go with you anywhere. Anywhere.
We talked the night away in that chamber, Leo and I fascinated by every word that fell from those lovely lips. She talked of the hidden knowledge of ancient lands, sang softly of her thoughts in rhyme, and spoke once again the words of long dead poets, forgotten by the world. She made us believe in her own immortality and in ours to come. And before dawn, Bilali with us, we followed her madly and joyously through the dim and dusty passage that led to the flame of life. We came to a great abyss with a narrow ledge crossing over it like a rainbow of rock. There, Bilali waited, and we three went on alone. At the sight of the awful depths beneath us, Leo and I shuddered in spite of ourselves and moved carefully, step by step.
She never hesitated, but swayed along gaily before us like a feather borne on a breeze. Finally, we stood in a vast circular chamber, a great bubble in the Earth's crust whose walls were shining black basalt.
Holly.
Yes?
I see there by the wall. Looks like the body of a man.
An old philosopher, my beloved, who came here many centuries ago. He sat and watched the flame and could not decide whether he should become immortal. Finally, he died.
And you? Have you never regretted becoming immortal?
I could not have waited for Callicrates, Holly, had I not been immortal. But you, Leo, perhaps you have doubts.
Immortality will not even be long enough with you. Where is the flame?
Listen. Even now it approaches. It advances and then retreats, a never-ending cycle of life. It has moved along its path through this cavern since the beginning of time.
Holly, look!
Do not fear it, beloved. See, this time I will step into the flame alone. And when it comes again, you may join me.
It's like the fire of the sun and the dust of a million diamonds.
As the great and terrible pillar of flame approached, she threw off her veils and opened her arms to it, and the eternal fire flowed over her. It passed and left her there, standing with her head bowed.
You, are you all right? It didn't harm you?
No, my beloved. Can one find harm in the flame that created life itself? Do you believe that...
What?
That...
What's wrong? Tell me what's wrong.
The flame was different somehow. Now that Callicrates has returned, the curse of everlasting life is lifted.
Leo, she's aging, growing old.
No,
Oh,
no.
I do not... If I go... Search for me. Search.
Merciful heavens.
Oh, no. No.
Even as Leo's hands reached out to touch her, they closed on a dry heap of soft, gray dust. I knew now that neither of us would step into the flame. And I knew we would spend our lives searching through the world for she. I seemed to hear in my mind once again words she had spoken in those glorious hours the night before. I knew that Leo was hearing them too, and that neither of us, so long as we live, could ever forget that lovely voice.
Nay, not in Kor, but in whatever spot, in town or field, or by the insatiate sea, men brood on buried loves or unforgot, or break themselves on some divine decree, or would o'erleap the limits of their lot. There, in the tombs and deathless, dwelleth she.
Escape. Produced and directed by Norman MacDonald, tonight brought you She by H. Rider Haggard. Adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Dunkel. Featured in tonight's cast were Barry Kroger, Larry Dobkin, Kay Brinker, Ben Wright, and Wilms Herbert. Special music by Ivan Ditmars. Next week.
You are clinging precariously to a diving, pitching longboat, lashed by mountainous seas in the center of a hurricane. And at the helm, driving you on, is a man bent on revenge and willing to kill for it.
Next week, we escape with F.R. Buckley's exciting story, Habit. Good night, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
A story of reincarnation in an exotic and perhaps barely accessible place. That was She, one of the shortest titles in all of literature, surely, based on the story by H. Rider Haggard. It came from Escape, July 11th, 1948. Get ready next to enter Dimension X as old-time radio drama continues this Saturday night on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Junior, that's the name he goes by, is being taught some dark lessons about his creator tonight, and about people in general, for that matter, his teacher being a hoodlum by the name of Duke. What can be the outcome in Almost Human? Our story comes to us from May 13, 1950.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X.
Have you heard of the new science called cybernetics? It concerns man's efforts to develop a perfect thinking machine, a robot electronic brain that will not only do man's work, but even do his thinking for him. A robot that is almost human. No, it's not impossible at all. In fact, one day something like this may happen. A tall, suave gentleman in a black raincoat will walk down the street until he reaches a shuttered, isolated house. Then he will slowly mount the front steps and push the doorbell.
Just a minute. I said just a minute. Hold your horses. Who do you think...
Good evening, my dear.
Duke.
Looking lovely as ever. Can I come in, Lola?
Why did you come here?
Curiosity, darling. I've been thinking over what you told me at our chance meeting last week.
Duke, you promised me
I decided to come and take a look for myself. Where's the professor?
In his study.
Anyone else in the house?
No, just the professor and I.
Where's Junior?
In the nursery.
The nursery? Oh, quaint. And you, I take it, are Junior's nursemaid?
I help the professor.
Tell him he has a guest.
Duke, he's a nice old guy.
Tell him, darling.
All right.
Yes. What is it, Miss Williams?
Professor Blossoman, a gentleman is...
What? Here? I don't understand.
He's waiting for you.
Oh, but I gave orders. No one was to be admitted to the house.
He insisted.
Very well. Now, you wait here, and I will get rid of him. Sir, what can I do for you?
Professor Blossoman?
Yes? How do you know my name?
I've come to see Junior.
Junior? Oh, there must be some mistake. There are no children in this house.
Professor, what you feel pressing against your belly is the muzzle of a .45 caliber pistol.
Oh.
Now, shall we visit Junior?
What do you know about this?
I know everything. Shall we go inside?
I warn you.
On the contrary, I warn you.
Very well. This way. This is the nursery.
Where is Junior?
In the next room. Behind the door is the panel in it.
Very considerately furnished. Mother Goose figures on the walls. Blackboard, toy blocks, panda, bunny rabbit doll. Touching. All right. Let's see him.
Now you can look through the panel.
Well, who'd have believed it? Junior isn't very pretty, is he?
Oh, I wasn't concerned with aesthetics.
Why do you hide him? Is he dangerous?
Oh, you see, the world is not yet ready for such a thing. Besides, I must study him. As you can see by his play, he is very young, hardly out of the cradle. I'm educating him.
With nursery rhymes?
The brain is undeveloped. It must learn its behavior patterns like any infant.
Oh, come now. You call that 8-foot monster an infant?
Physically, of course, he will never change. He is built of chrome, steel, and glass. But his brain, that is my wonderful instrument. Unlike a human, he has no heritage, no basic instincts such as love or hate. But this is none of your business.
This is making it my business.
Well, then in some respects, he is like a blank tablet. What is written upon the tablet will remain.
You mean he has no feelings?
He will learn quickly, very quickly, because his brain is not blocked by emotional considerations.
Most interesting.
Yes. Now, if your curiosity is satisfied, I trust you will keep my secret. If anyone discovered at this point...
Open the door.
I beg your pardon?
The door. I want to see Junior in person. I almost said in the flesh.
Now, look here. I don't know you. I don't know how you learned my secret. Only Miss Williamson,
the
I
door,
suppose...
The door, Professor.
Very well. Junior. Come here.
What a monster.
Papa?
He talks?
Of course. Mentally, he is now about 6 years old. Yes. Now, what is it, son?
Who is that man, Papa?
No.
Let me handle this.
Yes.
You may call me Duke, son. I've come to meet you.
That's nice. Nobody ever comes to see me except Lola. Miss Williams. Do you like to play with blacks?
Why, yes. Nothing the Duke enjoys more than playing with blocks.
Play with me, Duke?
Certainly, Junior.
But I don't understand what you're trying to do. Who are you?
It's quite simple. I came to play with Junior. We're going to be friends, Junior and I. When I finished playing, you can have Lola... Miss Williams, prepare my room.
Your room?
I forgot to tell you. I've decided to stay. Until the climate changes and I can go out again.
No, no, this has gone far enough. You break into my home. You force me at gunpoint to open my laboratory. And then you tell me you are moving in. I won't stand for it. I'll call the police.
I'm sure the police will be interested in Junior. Newspapers will be delighted to print your obituary, too.
What do you want?
I told you. I want a comfortable room, no rumpus with police. And an opportunity to play blocks with Junior. Agreed?
Oh, you are hiding from the law?
As you wish. Now, leave us alone, Professor.
Yes, 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 I will.
All right, Junior, your move.
Let's build a bridge.
I have a better idea, Junior.
What?
Let's build a coffin.
A coffin? I don't know that word.
I'll teach you, Junior. I can see the professor's been neglecting the moral side of your education very sadly. Lola. Oh, Lola, you're wonderful.
You shouldn't have come here, Duke.
Why not, my dear? You're not afraid of me.
No, I'm afraid of myself. And you're no good for me, Duke. You always brought me trouble. Duke, what have you been teaching that thing?
Nothing, honey. I've just been playing with him. Very educational.
I don't believe you.
What's eating you, Lola?
Today, when I walked in there, he said to me, I know how to kill people, Lola. I'll kill you if you want me to.
He's learning very quickly.
Oh, Duke, I'm scared of that thing. It's unholy. A machine that acts like a human. With that voice grinding at you and saying things you'd expect from a child.
You dislike him so much, why did you take this job as his nursemaid?
I answered an ad. I wanted to start over again. The professor didn't ask questions. I would have been all right, too, if you hadn't come along.
I'm very glad you did tell me, darling. Because Junior is going to make us two very successful people.
How do you figure that?
You don't think I spend hours each day playing with Junior just to kill time, do you? I'm improving his mind, darling.
Improving
his mind. Any child, Junior listens to what he's told and imitates his parents. Right now, his parents are you and me.
Ha! Couple of fine examples we are. I don't know what you're teaching Junior, Duke, but I can guess. And it isn't right. It's evil.
Oh, my dear, you know me better than that. What makes you think I teach a child anything evil? I never taught you anything evil, did I, darling? Well, did I?
Yes. Yes, you did. Only you taught me to like it.
Now, Junior, right on the blackboard, my name is Junior.
My name is Junior.
People are evil.
People are evil.
Evil must be destroyed.
Evil must be destroyed.
The professor is evil.
The professor is evil.
The professor must be...
What are you doing?
I warned you to keep out of the nursery, Professor.
What are you teaching him?
I said get out of here.
Junior, what are you doing?
Go away.
Junior... You don't even remember me, Junior.
I know you. You're Professor Blossoman. You want to keep me as your slave. You didn't tell me about things, about outside. You didn't tell me that people are evil.
No, people are not evil.
Yes, they are. They must be destroyed.
Oh, stop it.
I'm not a child any longer.
No, you are not a child. You are a monster.
Junior.
Yes, Duke?
Remember your lesson.
Yes, Duke.
The time is now, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Oh, keep away from me.
Now, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Junior. Junior, don't do it. Listen to me. Junior, listen to me.
I did it, Duke.
Duke, I heard... Horrible.
Can we go away now, Duke? I don't like it here anymore.
Yes, Junior, I think we're ready to go away now.
Duke, why did you do it?
The professor was in the way. We have to move very quickly now, Lola.
We?
Of course, if you don't plan to come along, just say so. I can have Junior write your name on his blackboard.
Duke, you wouldn't.
We'll go to Charlie's.
With Junior?
With Junior.
Oh, Duke, you can't. I'm afraid.
Relax, my dear. I have great plans for you two. Wouldn't you like to be independently wealthy for the rest of your life?
The only way you get that way is by inheriting a million.
Not when you have a fellow like Junior around.
Duke.
Junior is mine. He obeys me. What you might call a mechanical stooge.
I'm still afraid of him.
Lola, Junior wouldn't hurt you. You wouldn't hurt Lola, would you, Junior? You remember what I told you about Lola? You like Lola, don't you, Junior?
Oh, yes. I like Lola. She's pretty.
You see? Junior's growing up. He thinks you're pretty. Just a wolf in steel clothing, eh, Junior?
She's pretty.
All right, we're wasting time. Okay, Junior. Mesh gears. We're stepping out into the big, wide world. Sit down, Charlie.
Yeah, sure, Duke.
Ola and I are going to hide out here for a while. We'll need some help.
Listen, Duke, I'm trying to keep the cops away.
You wouldn't refuse the Duke your hospitality, would you, Charlie?
Well, it ain't that,
good.
Duke.
Now listen to me. I need a casing job done.
Casing job?
You know the armored truck service?
Yeah, sure.
I want to know when they take the Acme deposits from Boston to Worcester.
Well, Duke, you ain't thinking of a payroll truck, are you? They got cannons on those trucks. They travel in pairs. You couldn't get near one of them.
I asked you to do a casing job, Charlie.
Yeah, sure, Duke. Anything you say.
I wonder what time they passed the narrowest and most deserted stretch of road.
If you're going to pull a job like that, you'll need 50 men. You want me to get some of the boys?
I won't need anybody. I've got somebody.
Where?
He's out in the car.
What's his name, Duke? Anybody I know?
His name is Junior.
I don't know any Junior.
You will, Charlie. You will.
Smoke, Sam?
Oh, thanks, Al. Sugar's hot in these armored trucks.
Hey, you get used to it after you've been driving one for 15 years like I have.
How much we hauling this time?
About $250,000.
Brother, could I use a hunk of that?
Yeah, who couldn't?
We ought to be coming into Wooster any minute now. It's almost midnight. Yeah, what's our first stop?
Acme National Bank. Then we unload a payroll at the Bronson Watch plant.
Gee, I wish we could open a window and get some fresh air.
We can get that after we unload. It's a rule of the company that we... What's that up ahead?
It looks like something shiny in the road.
Throw up your spotlight.
Right. Holy smoke. You see what I see? Looks like a mechanical traffic cop.
About 8 feet tall. Yeah,
standing right in the middle of the highway. It must be a Halloween gag. Can you get past him?
I don't know. We'll have to slow down. Get on that gun, Sam. Let's take no chances.
All right.
I'll give it the horn.
It don't budge.
Where's our escort truck?
It's pulled up right behind us.
Thing won't move.
Sure looks like something out of Buck Rogers, don't it?
This is a heck of a note blocking traffic like that. Well, we'll have to try and get past it.
Yeah, it looks like you might squeeze by on the shoulder.
Here goes.
Holy smokes, it's moving. It's coming toward us.
Yeah. Get on that gun. Give it a blast.
The bullets are bouncing right off it. It's still coming. Look at the eyes. Al, back up.
I can't. The other truck's right behind me.
Al!
It's lifting its arm.
Al's going to smash our window!
I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. Duke, we gotta quit this.
What's the matter, Charlie? Getting shaky?
Oh, you know me, Duke. It takes nerve. Charlie's always been right there. But this, the papers say he killed all four drivers. Listen, Duke, that robot is hot. We gotta get rid of it.
Stop your blubbering.
I don't mind a little heist, but killing four guys...
You know, Charlie, for a fat man, you certainly have a slim mind. You ought to take a lesson from Junior. He doesn't worry. He doesn't even know what a policeman is. He has no conscience. He never sleeps. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't even want a share of the profits. All we need is one more good robbery.
You ain't going to pull another one.
Why not?
Count me out, Duke. You have to lamb out of here with Lola and that thing there. I'm getting too jumpy. The law's going to track that baby.
Are you quite finished, Charlie?
You got no heart, Duke. You're like Junior, all steel inside.
And you're just a big, warm-hearted slob.
Well, I got nerves. I can't stand the thing. The way it looks at you with that iron face and the clanking around it.
Hello, Junior.
Hello, Duke.
I've just been talking to Charlie.
Yes, Duke?
You know what I think, Junior?
What, Duke?
I think Charlie's yellow. You know what happens to people who turn yellow, don't you?
Yes, Duke.
Tell Charlie.
They're evil. We have to destroy them.
You see, Charlie? Junior has a sense of values. He doesn't like people who sing to the police.
Now, Duke, wait a minute. You know I never turned stooley or anything like that. I never sang to the coppers in my life.
But you'll sing to Junior, won't you, Charlie?
What?
Sing Junior a nursery rhyme.
What do you mean, Duke?
You heard me. Sing Junior a nursery rhyme. Maybe Little Bo Peep. Junior likes Little Bo Peep.
Duke.
Sing it.
What? Little Bo Peep has... Duke, listen to me. I didn't...
Sing it, Charlie.
You can stay here as long as you like, Duke. You too, Junior.
You see, Junior? He's yellow. Sing it, Charlie.
Hello, Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them.
Junior?
Yes, Duke?
Leave them alone, and they'll...
Now, Duke.
Now, Junior.
And they'll come home. Duke!
I stopped him, Duke.
All right, Junior. Clean him up. Take him down the cellar.
Duke, I was in the other room and... Charlie! Oh, Junior, put him down.
Take him down to the furnace, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Oh, Duke. Duke, you can't...
Relax, darling. Stop shaking.
Duke, we can't stay here now.
No?
We've got to get out of here. Charlie's going to be missed. He's got friends. Now we'll have the gangs after us, too.
Stop worrying, darling. I'll take care of everything.
Where are you going?
Out to a travel agency. You and I are going to take a trip, Lola.
You leaving me alone?
Nothing to worry about. The roadhouse downstairs is closed. Nobody will bother you.
Oh, that doesn't frighten me. It's being alone with that thing. I've got the jitters, too.
It'll only be for the afternoon. I've got to get reservations and plan this thing. Look, honey, 48 hours, you and I will be on our way to Switzerland with $500,000 worth of loot.
What about Junior?
Junior will be taken care of. Pity I have to do it. I'd kind of like to send him out on his own. Why not? He has a fine education. He could
Don't
go out into...
Stop it. How can you get rid of him?
Junior will do anything I say. So I'll merely have him get into the furnace and sit there while I fill it with oil and set fire to it.
Oh.
Too bad the professor couldn't have stayed around to see him growing up. He's almost a man now, Junior is. But not quite as clever as a man. He'll find that out after he steps into the furnace.
All right. But do it now, Duke, before you leave.
There's no time now. Keep your chin up. I'll be back about 8.
Duke, you are coming back, aren't you? You wouldn't leave me.
Leave you? I have big plans for you, Lola. You see, I find you very attractive.
Oh, you're not good for me. I don't want you.
As long as you can tell yourself you're not really kissing me because you want to, why not enjoy it? I know you, Lola.
Yeah. You know too much for one man.
And I'm going now. Be nice to Junior while I'm gone. Don't show him you're afraid of him. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Duke.
Lola?
What, Junior?
Lola? Oil me.
Well, Duke might not like it. Can't you wait till he gets back?
I want you to oil me, Lola.
All right.
I'd like you to oil me.
Yes, Junior.
Are we going away from here, Lola?
Yes, we're going away.
That'll be nice. I don't like it here. I want to see more things. I want to see a roller coaster.
Where'd you hear about a roller coaster?
I read about it in a book. Charlie gave me a book.
No.
Will Duke let me ride on a roller coaster?
I don't know. Maybe.
You like Duke, Lola?
Why, certainly.
Do you like me?
You know I do, Junior.
Lola?
What?
Who do you like best? Me or Duke?
I like you both, Junior.
Yes. But who do you love?
What do you know about love?
In the books, man and woman love.
Oh.
Lola?
Yes?
Do you think anyone will ever love me? I'm different. I'm a robot.
You want somebody to love you, Junior?
I want something, Lola. I guess that's what I want. It's very lonesome being a robot. Do you think it makes a difference?
I think some women can fall in love with anything, Junior. Even with a man like Duke.
Why, Lola?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because, well, as long as she thinks her man is the smartest and the strongest.
Oh.
Where are you going?
To wait for Duke.
Oh, he won't be home for a while.
I'll sit in the hall and wait for him.
All right, Junior.
I want to be alone and think.
How about what?
I read in a book today it was bad to kill people. What does that mean? Bad?
Bad? I don't know, Junior. Guess it's just a word.
Lola?
Hello, Duke.
Oh, it's you. What are you doing sitting in the dark?
I was waiting for you, Duke.
Oh, that's a good boy, Junior.
Duke, Lola oiled me.
Well, that's nice. Tell you what, Junior. I've got a little job for us down in the cellar. Let's go down there.
Now, Duke?
Right now, Junior.
All right, Duke. Are we going away soon?
Yes, Junior, we're going away.
What's in the cellar, Duke?
A little surprise for you, Junior. You'll find out.
Is that you? Junior.
Hello, Lola.
I thought I heard Duke come in.
He came in.
Where is he?
Down the cellar.
What's he doing?
Nothing.
Did he say he'd be up soon?
No.
Maybe you'd better go down and get him.
He's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
You said the woman loves the strongest and the smartest. Well, I'm stronger and smarter.
But you are human.
I'm almost human, Lola.
No. Oh, stay away.
Lola.
All those metal hands. Don't touch me.
I love you, Lola.
No.
I love you.
No.
I love you.
No.
I love you.
The last thing she heard was the robot's harsh voice droning it over and over again.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
And strangely enough, it did sound almost human.
You have just heard the Robert Bloch story titled Almost Human. Another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of Dimension X.
Next week, a strange story of other worlds. The story of the lost race.
Tonight's adventure in Dimension X was adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as Duke, Rita Lynn as Lola, and Jackie Grimes as Junior. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman, engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King.
During the months to come, General Mills is planned to bring radio listeners an excitingly new half-hour show each weekday evening. Two of these shows have already joined the Wheaties Big Parade. On Mondays, it's Night Beat, and on Wednesdays, you'll hear Dangerous Assignment. More to come in the Wheaties Big Parade of NBC shows will be Sarah's Private Eye, Dimension X, and the Texas Rangers. You'll hear all of them in the Wheaties Big Parade of NBC shows.
Well, it has something to do with training, when Junior is the trainee and Duke is the alleged teacher. That was Almost Human, Dimension X, with science fiction from May 13th, 1950. And our final foray for old-time radio drama for this Saturday night. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I hope you can join me tomorrow night and next Saturday night. Same time, same station of the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.